Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
It's interesting how God, do you know that God sets us up? Have you? God sets us up. I don't even realise that. In our kind of praying and preparing for these messages back in September, Clive and myself and Paul Taylor, who leads the congregation in Crawley, we believe God was speaking to us about a certain kind of message, which was choose love, choose life, and we've been kind of running through that. And we had intended for Clive's wife, Jane, to speak tonight. I think I even mentioned it last week. And she's not able to be here tonight. She does send her apologies. She's had a situation within her family which she must be at tonight, otherwise she would be here. But it's funny how God sets us up, because I really only knew that I was going to be speaking tonight on Friday. And Clive said to me, he said, mate, it'd be brilliant if you just shared your heart with the people. Because obviously, which is always a bit dangerous, right? So I'm going to go off notes a little bit, which is probably not a bad thing, because I think maybe we all should do that a bit more. Just go off note a little bit. Go off piste, as they say. Obviously, as a congregation, we are on the cusp of change. And I wanted to take some time, not to just to share a message with you, but share the heart behind it. For the last 5 years, as many of you will know, we've really had the whole of the 118,000 population of Worthing. God's really put them in our hearts. It's not to build church, but to see people changed, to see people give their lives to Jesus and come alive to the things of God and therefore become complete. So as we were kind of getting challenged by that, we realised that we had to give up some of the things that we love to do some of the things that we love more. And that's always a challenge. Jesus will always challenge us to give up things that we've loved in order to do the things that we love more. In our setting, I started to drive down to Worthing twice a week for 5 years. It meant there was cost with that. There was a consequence of making that decision before God. Part of it wasn't so bad, because we used to come down in the bus, and this came down at that time and a few others. But we would come down and we would just pray and we would just seek God in Worthing, because we believe God has got a strategy for the city and wants to change the city by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't to come and build a church. It wasn't to come and start a congregation. It was to come and just seek the face of God. Why is that? Because the first thing we learned is that we have to stop seeking what we love and start seeking what God loves. If you're making notes, that one should be at the top of your list. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom and all these things shall be added to it. And we began to be challenged that we weren't even seeking for many, many people to come. We were just seeking for people that had caught the spirit of this time, saying, let my people go. It's an old story. We've probably seen the book. We've seen the TV series. But there are 118,000 people just outside the 10 inches of the brickwork here, where God is still saying, let my people go to. It's not us, because most of us have given our lives to Jesus. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. But we are in the minority. So we began to be challenged. What did we love? Well, we love to have worship services. And God began to speak to us and say, well, that's fine, as long as when I'm coming in worship, other people that don't even know who I am can find out who I am in a really simple way. I love the worship in this congregation. I love the worship in Kingdom Faith, but actually, most of the time now, I'm not engaging my heart in worship because of what I'm going to get out of it. I'm engaging my heart in worship because I'm bringing thousands of people with me. Yeah. And it's painful. It hurts. It's not all fun and woohoo. There's a burden within my heart, because I know we can spend an hour in here like we just have. It's great. It's warm. All the chairs are nice. But actually, I know there's a lot more people outside of there who are lost and in a dying world. And that's what's in my heart. You're kind of getting where I'm coming at it from. So I have no idea where this message is going to go. I have got some scriptures here which we're going to get into by the grace of God. But I just want to share my heart. So I know for some of us, it's like, you know, it's been great having an evening service. You know, we can get topped up in the things of the Spirit. Well, I think you should do that in your own time. I'm not here, the King of Faith is not here to top up the tan. We're here to change a city for Jesus. Amen. We're here to see the kingdom of God advance, because that's what God says he wants to do. If we want to get topped up in the Holy Spirit, then we just need to pray a little bit more. Watch less TV, watch more of Jesus and see what happens. So there's another cost there. And the cost for me was this. I get used in all kinds of extraordinary ways. That's just because of God's call. It's nothing to do with me. And I've led thousands of Bible studies and millions of sessions on, you know, all this kinds of stuff. But at the center of it, if people don't understand that there is a new hope in Christ and you can have it as a gift, then I've not been using my time brilliantly. So I'd love to teach, and I teach in our Bible school. I teach 4 or 5 times a week, every week for a year and then 2 years. And I love it. That's not a challenge to me. I find it really easy to teach people. But God began to talk to me more about what he's teaching me rather than what I'm teaching the people. What he was teaching me was to follow me. Forsake all and follow me. And that is really hard to learn. That we have to learn on the journey. We can read about it, we can see a video about it, we can buy a t-shirt about it, but we only really find out what the cost of following Jesus is when we take the next step of obedience. Without it, there is no cost. There's just an awareness. So another thing that I had to, that I love to do, but you know, I had to give it up because to love to do with other things, is that I love being out on the street chatting with people. I've seen many thousands of people come to Jesus and it's wonderful, woohoo, fantastic. But man, I want to see that in Worthing. I see that pretty much everywhere else I go. Every town, every city, this nation, other nations, it's very normal to see people give their life to Jesus. 2 weeks ago, as some of you would know, I was supporting one of our partnering churches in Italy. We've started 9 over there in the last 5 years. There's about 1,000, maybe 1,100 people there. And 15 people gave their lives to Jesus on Saturday night. That's kind of fun. What gets even more fun is that 2 of them were from the Italian Premier League football club. Because they're influential people. It's not to big us up, it's to big God up. But I began to realise that actually, yeah, I quite like going to these places. What I love more is to see people that I'm seeing here now 3 times a week. We're down here praying, walking around. Every time I set foot into Word, then my heart gets heavy, but my faith rises. God, you've got to do something. God, you've got to show yourself to be who you are. I know who you are. We know who Jesus is. But there's too many people who don't for me to be comfortable. So we have, as a leadership, we spent about 8 or 9 months praying at this. When we started this congregation just over a year ago, it was only ever going to be on an evening for 1 year. We've extended that a little bit for reasons that we need to go into, but mostly practical ones. And as most of you will know, from the 4th of January, we are going to a 10 a.m. service. But why? For us, not really. For the people, definitely. Is there a cost in that? Absolutely. If it's no cost, it's not worth going on the journey, I have found. So there is a cost. There is going to be a challenge to us. Some people already paid the cost. The guys playing in the band and others with them. They've been coming down here for 60 weeks. Without fail, we've had a great time of worship. Tonight was great worship, wasn't it? Yeah. So they've paid the cost of advancing, and they will still be paying the cost. We will still have an awesome worship experience on a Sunday morning. We'll still have a great time of hearing the word of the Lord. But those Sunday mornings going forward are not for us. We're there to make them happen. We're there to pray, to serve, to give our time, to give our talent, to give our treasure into making Sundays the day when people can give their lives to Jesus. The opportunity where they can get their miracle. The time when they can get their healing from cancer and AIDS and all kinds of other stuff which is just outside of the walls here. When they can get set free from what oppresses them. That's why we go into a morning. Some of you think, what difference does it make? I've been praying, chatting with other leaders, doing some demographics, and however we want to put it, most people don't relate church to happening in an evening. It's something they do on Sunday mornings. I have no idea why people think like that. But actually, it's that kind of person that we want to hook into. I know that at the moment, we're the only congregation that has a bit of an evening service. There's probably reasons for that as well. And maybe in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years' time, we'll have so many people around, we'll need to have an evening service again. But that's not where we're going next. Where we're going next is that we're here for the lost. We're here for those who are hopeless and helpless and their only means of escape is through Jesus. That's the primary reason. So I love coming down to this building. I love the journey. I love the atmosphere. I love the people here. We get on really well with everybody here. But I'm not here for me. And actually, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the people that aren't here. So as a leadership, we made this decision several months ago, and we've kind of been announcing that. But there are some scriptural supporting things about this whole move, and I just want to go into one piece of scripture. You're probably going to know it. Some of you might be thinking, oh, you know, he just wants to prove his point through scripture. Well, God does that all the time. So let's just take it in the right way. There's a brilliant piece of scripture in 2 Kings 6. And we're just going to have a look at that just for a few minutes. I'm just going to put out some points on this. And some of them, I think, will help us to pray a little bit. Some of them are going to challenge us a little bit. Some of them we're just not going to like very much. I'm going to be honest with you. Because I've had to be honest with me. Because I've heard this before you've heard this. Does this make sense? So in 2 Kings 6 verse 1, the very, very first thing, which is interesting to me, is that the people of God went to the leader at that time and said, look, the place where we meet with you is too small. Now, that didn't just mean it was too small. It meant that it was never going to be big enough. Oh, switch that phone off, unless it's the Holy Spirit. The company of prophets said to Elisha, the place where we meet with you is too small. Why? Because they'd reached the ceiling, but not the roof. What I mean by that is that the people were hungry, they'd heard God, they'd experienced God, they knew what God could do, but they weren't seeing it happen in the place that they currently were at. In other words, their passion, their vision was bigger than what their hands were touching. That's kind of where I'm at right now. I love this place, I love the spirit, I love what God is doing, but it's not satisfying the God-shaped vision that's in my spirit and in our spirit as Kingdom Faith. It's not a bad place, it's not a wrong place, it's just not big enough in terms of what God wants to do and what God wants to say. Hopefully this doesn't come across as a prideful thing, because what I'm not saying is Kingdom Faith Church wants to have a big church. It's not. But we do believe in a big God, and God wants to express himself in a big way. So part of the need for move is this place has become too small. God is able to do far more than we can see him do right now. Every week we put 50 chairs out. Well, I'd like to put 100 out and put 50 extra friends on them. Woo! Man, I'd like to put even 51 out and one of you brings a friend. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in my heart, I'm looking at 1,000 people in Kingdom Faith worthy. I've seen that before. I know what 1,000 people looks like. I spent time with them. I met with Jesus in 10,000. So I know what 1,000 looks like, but that's still only 1.18% of the population of the town. So we'll start with 100. Just make it easy. So the venue that we have, you can get about 200 people in it, which will be good for the next bit. But more importantly, it's making a statement. Okay, God, we need you now to fill this space. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's a good prayer. That keeps us on the front foot. And it goes on, and these guys said, let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole and let us build a place there for us to meet. I love this sense of ownership. Everybody's involved. When everybody crosses over from one side to the other, they're there for one thing. Man, we're going to build something for God to use. We're going to build something for God to fill. We're going to build something where God can be God. We're going to build something and we're all involved. Everything that I've got in my hand is useful when I've crossed over. That's in my heart. I know already two or three people have said, you know, it's going to be really difficult for them to come on a Sunday morning. And I've just not really responded as much at all. Okay, well, you just got to do what God's asking you to do. But make sure it is what God's asking you to do. Not just an easy out or a preference. So I'm happy to chat with people, pray with them. I put the invitation out there over the last few weeks. I'm happy to pray. Okay, what is God saying? Because it's more important that we go over the Jordan where we each get a pole so that we can each build. It's very intentional, very deliberate, very purposeful. Hallelujah. So our Sunday services from the 4th of January are going to look a bit different. It's a whole new venue. It's like a theatre. There's staging, there's lights, there's different seats. Now, everybody that rocks up on the 4th of January, you're going to end up on a schedule. You've got a pole. We need it. God wants to use the pole. Whatever it is that you think you have, man, it's useful. Let's just bring it in to the house building and let's use it for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you like to communicate the word, great. I can help you do that. If you like speaking to people and seeing them saved, great. We can help you do that. If you just like making stuff, great. We can help you do that. If you just like being on the door, great. We can help you do that. Every pole has got a use. And your pole matters. Without it, something that should happen isn't going to happen, but it's got to be very intentional. Maybe you're great at lights. Maybe you're great at getting good sound. Maybe you're just great at doing whatever you want. I have to put chairs out because they come out of a big thing and then go back again. It's amazing. Maybe you're just great at doing what you are the only person that can do. What I'm saying is if you cross over, man, bring it with you. Bring your gift. Bring your ability with you because, man, God wants to use it. Hallelujah. Now, please understand what I'm about to say. If I only am the only person that turns up on the 4th of January, I'm still going to be there. Exactly. But even if I was, man, I'll still have a worship time. I'll still preach to myself. I'll still have an altar call. I'll still respond to it. I'll still see God heal. Come on now. Even if I'm the only person that turns up, why? Because I'm not there for me. And I'll be banging on every door around North Worthing, South Worthing. We're not a local congregation. We're a citywide congregation here. From across just these people here, there's people from the north, south, east and west of the city. Brilliant. That's going to increase. What we just need to believe God for, and people that bring their poles, they don't look like us. They're a bit younger than us. They might be a different colour than us. They might speak a different language than us. But man, God still wants to use them. We're a generational church. Come on. Hallelujah. I love the people that God's bringing. But man, there's millions, there's thousands out there that don't look like we do. But God wants them. God wants to use them for the glory of God. That's why we need a different place. But they all brought a pole. They all came to build. They all came to get involved. Then Elisha said to them, go. Won't you please come with us? Man, we wouldn't even be moving to a morning if God hadn't said it. It's not a good idea. Actually, in some respects, it's a really bad idea. Why is it a bad idea? I love traveling. I love to be able to be used by the Lord in all kinds of different settings. And usually that's been a Saturday and a Sunday morning. It stops now. I can't do that now. So I'm giving up something that I love, which is right, to do something which I love more, which is worthy. Do you understand that? So there's cost. Please don't feel sorry for me because I'm actually really happy with this because it's God. So for me, it's not a cost. It's just like, that's what God's saying. Let's get on with it. Come on. Hallelujah. I like you. You can come back. So Elisha said, yeah, I'm going to come with you. Why? So our spirit doesn't change. Our vision doesn't change. Our culture doesn't change. We just relocate. But it doesn't just stay in the college. Part of it's going to stay here. The influence that we've seen God use from here as we've worshipped, prayed, met with Jesus, it stays. The spirit stays. The breakthroughs stay. The messages that have gone out stay in the spirit. They stay in the atmosphere. I know enough pastors that run churches around the area that they get it. It's like, we know when you guys have prayed because every Sunday afterwards we just have a new breakthrough in our church. Good, because that's what we're here for. Their connection increases. Their relationships begin to develop a little bit. It's awesome. Why? Because we're here for the city. Thank you, Jesus. So the spirit, the vision and the culture moves with the people. So we're not Worthing Leisure Centre congregation. We're Kingdom Faith Worthing congregation. In one sense, it doesn't really matter where God puts us. As long as we keep to our spirit, our culture, our values, and what we believe in, and we're going to do that. We are a house of God. We do believe in worship. We do believe in prayer and the preaching of the word. But we also believe in one another. And all those things come when we go. We believe that we're here to see a revival or a wakening up for a generation. And a turning of a tide of a godly society. That hasn't changed. That just gets bigger. Because when you relocate, it gets bigger. It gets a little clearer. It gets a little bit more tangible. So on those Sunday mornings, we're going to see loads of families coming with kids. Loads of young people. Already, the head of the department over in the college wants us to start investing in their young people. In fact, I could read the email. Their email was, "We're so looking forward to working in partnership with your faith community." That's from the head of their directors. I think that's quite exciting. I think that's kind of cool. So they went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. In other words, the old place was great, but the new place was going to look different, be different, sound different. And it was going to arise. It was going to come out of the people that were close. Let's just replace trees with people. Because I'm not so keen on just building a great theatre. Man, we want some great people that have been touched by God, given their lives to Jesus, filled with the power of God, moving in the power of God. So when we move and transition, man, the challenge is going to be, who are we going to bring? Yes, we can bring our time, our talent, our treasure, but actually now we've got to have people to build with. God never intended to build physically. He built spiritually first, which is people. The church is about people, isn't it? But to begin to be effective, man, we're going to have to work a bit differently. It's going to be a bit of effort. And again, the challenge for me is it's been a bit of an effort, to be honest with you. I've only missed 4 Sundays out of, however, only we've had 60, I think. It's an effort. But it's worth it. Coming down here in the week, sometimes twice in the same day, it's an effort, but it's worth it. Why? Because there's people at the end of it. Because there's God's heart for people at the end of it. Getting up at 5:30 in the morning because God says, pray for this person, pray for that person, pray for the mayor. There's an effort, but it's worth the effort. Why? Because we're building something. We've got to cut some trees down. We've got to make some space. We've got to get on with it. We're not looking to have a great big massive all bells and whistles building. But man, we can believe God for some great people to fill it. As it turns out, the new venue is brilliant. It's less than 1 year old on the inside. Everything's very, very sparkly and new and everything works, which is awesome. But I'll tell you what, I'll sooner turn up at a street corner and see 50 people give their lives to Jesus than have 50 just turn up where it's all sorted. I'll sooner sort the people than sort the building. Now, I love great venues. Again, most of us, we have our annual camp every year, which it would be being an annual camp. And I worked a lot in that, getting it right, ready, everything sorted. But man, what's important is the people that come and experience who Jesus is. That's the point. It goes on. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe fell into the water. "Oh no, my Lord," he cried out. There's going to be some personal challenges in moving forward. Some of you are already facing them. Some are already chatting with, old spiritual leaders or people that you're connected with. And I know, I just so appreciate the fact that you're having those conversations. And I'm sorry, when I've been hearing the stories coming back, it's like, Lord, please, please be really wise in this. Please use this time so everybody grows, everybody moves forward, everybody develops, everybody finds a new place in God. Because for me, that's much more important than bringing 40 people with me instead of 30. What's important to me is the integrity of God, is that we've had right conversations, we've left or we've joined right, because that's really important. That's important to God, it's important to me, it's important to us. Is that we've moved forward in a relational kind of way. But here's a personal challenge. Sometimes when I'm just doing my bit, sometimes something happens. Sometimes I lose the edge. I think as we move forward, God's going to put a fresh edge on who we are. I think God's going to sharpen us up a little bit. I think God's going to reshape the shape of what we are and what we're seeking to do. So, because we need to be a bit edgy. I don't mean harsh. I mean, there's a fresh cutting when we're praying, when we're worshipping, when we're spending time together, when we're in our small groups, when we're in impact. Is there just going to be a fresh edge that comes as we get refocused and repurposed? God polishes the edge a little bit. Why? Because he said that we would be fruitful. He doesn't want us just hacking around, making a mess, just doing our own thing. He wants us to be really intentional. That when we begin to swing that axe, and it is harvest time, when we begin to reap, it's done really well. Are you still with me if I upset everybody? Because I'm just going to keep talking till I feel done. Is that okay? I'm just showing my heart here now. The man says it was borrowed. Every single person in this room that knows Jesus, every gift that you have is borrowed. Everybody's future in this room is borrowed. It's not yours, it's Jesus's. He just happens to have given it to us. Every talent that you have is borrowed. Every gift that you have is borrowed. Every future that you have is yours, but we didn't earn it. We were given it. So everything that I am is borrowed. Everything. The great thing about Jesus is this. He says the call and the gift of God. I don't want them back until you've done it. The word is irrevocable if you want it in the New Infallible Version. What that means is God's put something in your heart, in my heart. He doesn't want it back until we've finished the race, until we've won, until we've crossed over, until we've seen our town turned upside down for Jesus. Then he'll have it back. I think that's good. I think that's impressive. I think that shows about the grace of God. But then, like now, we've got to go to God and say, what should we do? We don't know what to do. The place is a bit small. We know there's more of God. We know there's more people that you want to touch and bless and make whole. What do we do? They went to Elisha and said, what do we do? Now, I don't know how you want to interpret this. It depends on your theology. I'm just very simple, right? Elisha just threw a stick in the water. And suddenly, axe, something made of iron, defied physics and floated. Something that should never have happened, happened. Something that was impossible to happen, happened. Why? Because when we relocate, when we move forward, because God has said, the supernatural becomes a bit more normal. Things should be a little bit unnatural. Things that shouldn't float will float. Things that shouldn't work will work. Things that weren't very fruitful will become more fruitful. Do you understand that? Because where we're at, this is what we have in God. Thank you, Jesus. But there's more around the corner. And this supernatural thing happened. It's like, it's not magic. It was just a piece of stick. I'm surprised the dog didn't chase it. It was just a bit of stick. But the key is this. They just said, what do we do? And I said, throw a piece of stick in it. It's obedience. Now, there is a reason why God, I think, is speaking to us out of this particular story, and I'll explain it kind of like this. The chapter after this, chapter 7, you see a whole famine of a whole city lifted. Samaria. I don't think that would have happened without this. Otherwise, this wouldn't be here. I think what God is saying to me and what God is saying through me is that God wants to break the famine over Worthy. He wants to set the poverty-stricken people free. Amen. Man, we've fed so many Christians in Worthing, I'm surprised they can get in and out of their doors. 4,000 people confess Christ in Worthing. And there are 54 churches in Worthing. Great! I'm after the 114,000 that never go. Who's with me? Right. So what I'm saying is this. We're not here to go and eat the fat of the land. We're going to break the famine over the city. We're here to come and see people set free who just can't do it on their own. We're to come into a place where people just are too afraid to go and say, Jesus has got the answer for you. We're here to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's time to move and it's time to build. Not just bless. I love the blessing of Sunday nights, but we got to build with them. That's right. Building and blessing are not the same. Blessing remains a moment, building remains forever. So we're here to build. We're here to build for God. We're here to build out of obedience to the Holy Spirit. We're here to build into the city. We're here to build it in the broken and be a voice for those who don't have a voice. We're here to build. We're here to see supernatural become very normal. And as I've kind of got to know some pastors, there's one or two guys, they just get this. They're talking this kind of language. There's probably about four that I'm friendly with. Out of the whole of 54 people, it's like, yeah, we know what you're talking about. Come on, let's do it. Let's turn this town upside down for Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's break the famine. Let's give people a hope. Let's help these famished people get nurtured and nourished on the things of God. Let's just invest in their spirit. Man, the people that have already had the investment, man, maybe it's time they went and shared a little bit of what they have. Because we never know what we have until we have to use what we have.
Help homeless.
Right. When we were praying, thank you. When we were here on Wednesday night, it was a powerful time of prayer. The impact worthies are because God uses them. And we probably spent 3/4 of our prayer time praying for the homeless, but in a sense that people have a house, but it's not their home. There's brokenness there. There's abuse there. There's rejection there. There's bullying there. It's not a home. It's a house. As well as people that I know, 2 or 3 of them, just go out in the shelters down on the beach. I meet them sometimes. I have a chat with them, take them for a coffee. But I've also met hundreds of people who live in houses, but they never call them a home because they get abused there. They're unemployed there. They're sick there constantly. They're in pain there constantly. It's not a home. Jesus says, "Gonna come on. Let's build a house of God that becomes a home for people. Let's build a house of God that becomes a home for people." So I believe that God is challenging me and has been for months. He's challenging us as a leadership and has been for months. He's stirring up the spirit. What's part of that journey? It's God. There's got to be more than this. And there is. But we're not going to see the more while we come here. Now, I'd have been happy to stay here, as I've said. But God said, no, it's too small. It's too small. So we're going somewhere where God has given it to us. Okay, God, is this it? Yes. Then, man, you've got to fill it, God. Because we only know what we know how to do. God, you're going to have to help us. God said, okay, you get it and we'll help. I'll fill it. I'll draw people. Jesus is brilliant at drawing crowds. That's what he did. Even when he was born, he drew a crowd. You know it. But it's just interesting how the siege around the city in chapter 7, after they'd moved, after they'd followed, after they'd brought everything, after they'd had a little go, put a bit of work in, a bit of effort in, one of the byproducts of that was the siege over the city was lifted. I believe that's what God wants to do, not just through Kingdom Faith, but through the church. Is that God wants to raise the famine over the university, over the school, over the businesses. I walk up and down Tarring Road a lot. It's like, dear Lord, where has God gone? Because whenever I'm trying to find out what's going on in the town, I go and look at the state of shops, notice boards, and what people like to do. That's what I do. And man, you can do anything you like if you walk down there and check out the phone boxes, postcards, stuff in the window. Man, you can find anything from women to boys to what you like. I'm not saying anybody in this room is happy with that. All I'm saying is I'm not. I'm not. You've got to raise the siege over the city and break it. Where people are having to get fed and clothed and homed and housed. We might say, well, okay, that's all right for them, but we were like them. And now we know different. So what are we moving for? Because God has said so. What are we expecting? God to be bigger. Isn't he big already? Yeah. But we know there's more than we're seeing. We're going to need people to disciple new Christians. We're going to need loads of people that know how to bring people to Jesus properly, get them filled with the Holy Spirit properly, get them mentored properly. We're going to need people like that. That's your poll. We're going to need people to lead loads of small groups. That's going to be your poll. We're going to need people who know how to lead people into worship, into prayer. That could be your poll. We're going to need loads of people that know how to, I've got a real gift with youth, with young people. That's going to be your poll. And some of these people aren't even in the room yet, but they will be because God will send them to us. Why? Because he wants to lift the siege over the city. So what's it going to look like? I have no idea. I don't know. All I know is that God has already shown what's possible. And he said this, didn't he? He said, I've come to seek and save those which were lost. So I know kind of what it's going to look like. It's going to look like a load of people that don't know half what we know about God. Asking you a question, can you show me this Jesus? Can you help me live like you? It's going to be a whole load of people that are asking questions that we might have asked 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago and forgotten the answers. But forgotten other people haven't got the answers yet. How can I be free? I've got this addiction. Can you help me? I've got this total wrong image of myself. Can you help me? Man, I've got all this money, but I've just got a big empty space inside of me. Can you help me? That's what I think we're here for. That's going to result in great times of praise and worship. Of course it is. As many people give their lives to Jesus, get baptized, receive Christ, there's going to be a massive time of celebration. Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm prepared to pay the cost for, is to see Jesus glorified and honored. Do I want to run loads of Bible studies? Not particularly. I can do that. Others in here can do that. But if we're going to study the Bible, it's going to be about, I want to be set free. This is how I am free. This is how I live free. And this is how I stay free. Yeah. That's the kind of Bible studies we're going to be running. Why? Because that's what God wants us to do. Yeah. It's great getting people out of Egypt. Sometimes you've got to get Egypt out of them. Then you've got to help people know their destiny in life. Then you've got to help people know that they can be really fruitful. People like you and people like me. So we'll be running Bible studies. We'll be running loads of prayer. Everybody in this room, if you cross over in the Jordan, bring your pole with you because we need it. Bring your talent with you because we need it. Bring your treasure with you, but make sure it's the treasure for the house. Not just what we're going to get out of it. Because it's going to be a challenge. We're all going to have to be involved in something. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up, shall we? Felt like a bit of a ramble. I make no apologies for that. I just wanted to share my heart. Hopefully you didn't feel as if I was getting at you, because I'm not getting at anybody. Really? You're all grown ups. You're all mature. You all know the voice of God. Just make sure you're listening to God and not just your preferences. See, people don't belong to a service, they belong to one another. People don't belong to a building, they belong to the family. We've been faithful to this building and we can continue to be, but God hasn't said stay. He said go. So I can't be faithful here, I've got to be faithful somewhere else. But I'm going to be faithful to you. Because what he has said is that we're a family of believers. So we don't belong to a building, we belong to one another. We don't belong to a service either. We belong to one another. I know it's going to stretch some people. I know that. It's going to stretch everybody. But it needs to so we can be bigger. Let's just pray together, shall we? Father, I just... pray that you just use some of what has been said to help people find their destiny and to find their next step. Father, I thank you that you are saying to us that this place is too small. And you are saying, go over there and take your poles and do some work. And you will fill it and change it and shape it. I thank you that you are saying that. You want us to have an influence over the whole of this town. And that is awesome, Jesus. And I just know that I can't do that without you. We can't do that without you. Which is why I know that we're not going without you. So I thank you that you're going ahead of us. Thank you that you've already prepared the way. not just for a new service and a new venue, but for a new expression of your Holy Spirit, for a new moving of the supernatural, for a new sense of your power at work in us and through us in a new way. So I thank you for everyone who crosses over. You're going to use them like you've never used them before. You're going to bless them like they've never been blessed before. You're going to increase their fruitfulness and maturity like you've never done it before. And I thank you most of all. You're going to be glorified. This town's going to be changed. People are going to be made whole and well. Your spirit is going to move in power. People are going to be flooded into the saving power of Jesus. Lord, that's what I want to see. I want to see this town turned upside down for you. And I know a service isn't just going to do that. A people do that. So I thank you for the people that you're sending, you're preparing, you're speaking to right now. Lord, make us ready for them. Make us ready to serve them, to honour them, to be hospitable towards them, to be generous towards them. Help us by your Spirit to help them find their value and their worth. Help us by your Spirit to help them belong and to be encouraging. Help us, Lord, to help them find that their life matters to you and to us. And I thank you and I praise you for the grace to do that.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.